Welcome back to the Content That Grows podcast. I'm your host, Nate Turner. Today, we're going to be talking about what does content decay look like in 2024? So this is definitely a topic that's becoming, I think important, but maybe not being talked about as much. There's a lot around content decay. That concept's been around for a while. Updating existing content's been around for a while. But the makeup of that and, you know, kind of what's underneath the surface has changed quite a bit. So we wanted to do a quick episode today just to kind of talk about how some of that's shifting, some of the things we're seeing, just kind of help you be addressing that moving forward. So to be discussing that with me today is my co-founder, Kevin King, back at it again. What's up, Kevin?
Not much. Happy to be here again.
Sweet. All right. So, like I said, you know, we have content on our blog. We've done podcast stuff. Like, there's a lot of things, you know, and certainly talked about it a lot on LinkedIn over the years. People are quite familiar with the idea of needing to update your content to continue to rank and perform. But things have really changed since, you know, 2018, 2019. So what I'd love is, you know, kind of just start by, if you kind of highlight, like, what are some of the parts of, or elements, or, you know, kind of however you want to describe it, of content decay that are the same or similar today as they were, you know, in 2018, 2019, and then we'll kind of go from there on what's different.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of things that still happen that influence decay. I think they'll always probably be pretty constant. I know there's a lot changing in the space, but things that still impact it, or at least influence it, I would say one of the biggest ones is intent changes on the keyword level. So yep. Just Google learning about, you know, understanding the intent that the searcher has over time as it relates to a query, and that just shifting as it learns more about user behavior. That's a big one. So that can change the makeup of a piece of content that you've produced, and ultimately people you're not satisfying that intent anymore is ultimately what's happening there. Yep. A bigger one too is competitors. Competitors always creep out of nowhere and overtake you or whatever. That's always gonna be the case. You're always gonna have to keep things up to date. The age of a piece of content will always influence it. Like, I still see that all the time. We'll, you know, get a prospective client that has a ton of content that they've built over years, and, you know, it's just going down. And then you look at it, it hasn't been touched since 2018. So that's a big one. And then the other one I would say is like just overall like accuracy and depth on the topic. And that can vary depending on what you're going after or what stage of the funnel, but that's still a big one, especially as it relates to lots of things that are changing the space nowadays.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, those four make sense to me. Intent change, competitors, the age of the content since it was published or most recently updated, and then also just the depth and the accuracy. So those feel like they make sense. So, you know, I guess kind of shifting then to more of the core part of what we want to talk about today is, like, let's jump into what are some of the new ways that companies are experiencing content decay.
One of the ones that's come up a lot this past year, I'd say more maybe 12 to 18 months that we've hadn't seen as much before is behavioral or demand changes, I guess, around a specific topic. So what that really looks like is you have your piece of content is sitting at, let's just even say position one. We've seen that a ton of times, and clicks are just decreasing so why is that happening, right? Like, you're holding the number one spot, or in even top three, sometimes the third could be better than one, you never know, but ultimately you're in a great position. You should be sustaining that traffic. And then when you like go and look at maybe a Google Trends or something like that, you can see that maybe interest or demand has like shifted away temporarily. Some influencing factors could be maybe seasonality or a variety of other things. Seasonality would be one of the more obvious ones, but depending on your space. But I think that's a big one.
Yeah. So you're still holding the same average position or same or very similar. It might be 1.2, 1.1, 1.3. Your click-through rate staying the same, but impressions are going down. and therefore clicks are going down because your click-through rate is staying the same. So, yeah, I think that definitely has become more common for sure. It's just a lot of that shifting in behavior and demand, like you said.
Yeah, we see it a lot. There's a lot of people coining for, a phrase for it. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I don't want to like put one to it. Let's just stick with decay. I'd say the other big one, which is more of the hot topic these days, is just SERP features. We've seen tons of those come out over the years, right? Like we have had featured snippets, a knowledge panel. People also ask.
Yeah.
And then now AI overviews. Those things steal clicks, or they can, right? Especially when they come out. But that's a big driving influence, right? But like, there's obviously ways to optimize for that, mitigate it. But that would be one of the things that like you should be looking at the query level, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. And not necessarily that those are bad things, like similar to what we've seen over the years with getting featured snippets. Like it just was kind of a different thing. You had to learn the formatting and kind of how to optimize for that, you know, when Google or any other search engine determined that was a feature that they wanted to add to that SERP, then just kind of had to figure that out. And so similarly, you know, there's still a lot of opportunities to gain exposure there, but it does change the way people interact with the SERP and just some of that other stuff that just like if you had a bunch of great high performing content before featured snippets came out and you just didn't do anything for that, like, yeah, you're going to experience decay. You're going to lose out. But anyone that understood, oh, we got to just, you know, go back through some of these. Oh, yeah, we're already like calling out steps. Let's just, you know, format it properly so we can get the featured snippet. Same thing here, you know, in some of these other features that you're talking about, that it's really just a matter of kind of understanding the formatting and the syntax and, you know, maybe the schema, those types of things that we would need to go back and update the content to be able to capture that once those features start showing up in the SERP.
Yes. And one honorable mention that I wanted to call out was Google last year, we started seeing, or this past year, 12 months again, we've been seeing a lot more of those like from sources across the web. That's like most in the SaaS space. And I've seen in a variety of other spaces, but let's just focus there. Is like when Google aggregates a, like, say you're searching for best X software, it'll like display a like almost like tiles featuring a lot of different, already curating that list of software. And that's also being pulled from third-party sources, but they're presenting a rich result above the organic results. And we've seen that has been tough, especially if you're a SaaS product creating a piece that's like best X software and you're ranking one. Google's decided to like, hey, let's make that really front and center before people get into the search results. And that's something we've been trying to dig into a lot more, but I'd be on the lookout for that, especially on those like money lower funnel keywords. That's really big.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that when I've come across those, it's interesting and it makes sense. Like it feels like it kind of pulls inspiration from the shopping view and that kind of thing. And it makes sense. Like, hey, this person's researching and pulling it up, but like it's just weird because like if someone writes an article or creates a page on their site of like best whatever software, there's a lot of context in there, and the way they pull them into the top of the SERP, it's just like a list of the tools, but there's no, you know, weighting of best, or, you know, at least that I've seen, and like any context on what you're doing, you know, at least if you're in like a product like G2 comparing, you see, you know, reviews and ratings and some of the stuff you can kind of look at side by side, or on the grid or whatever. But, I anticipate that one will evolve over time. Cause right now it just feels like phoning it in almost, like, yeah, we're just going to pull all of them up with their logos, but like it doesn't end up being very helpful yet anyway. So I think that will be interesting to see kind of how it evolves.
For sure.
Okay. So I think we should shift into a little bit of like how we address, you know, and fix decay. So one, I'll preface by saying we're not going to go into a lot of detail because there's, we've gone into more detail, you know, on the with pretty long guide on our blog about this that goes into much more detail. So I think just in this format, it doesn't make sense. But also just, you know, as we get into this, just note that like this is kind of all under the umbrella of like updating your content. So this is not things you should do. And then the question being, oh, well, you know, when should I update content? Like this is all things you're doing to update content. So I just want to kind of preface with that. So Kevin, if you want to just kind of jump in on at the high level, you know, how you're, you know, still properly addressing and fixing decay with some of the factors that are still the same as 5 years ago, as well as some of the new factors.
Yeah. Well, let's go with the old factors first. So like basically you can bucket intent changes, behavioral changes, all that type of stuff, competitors like coming up and influencing decay, that can kind of all be approached very similarly, but you can identify it by looking at like your click-through rates and your rankings and, you know, obviously comparing those to some extent to see how decay is being influenced on a piece. And then again, just kind of going through all of those, like, I think that those are the steps that you take to understand, like, all right, well, let's see, has intent changed? Has the depth of our piece, is the depth of our piece not up to par based on what, you know, Google's searching for now, or what Google's surfacing on that particular query? And then that then leads into like looking at your competitors and doing a little research. Please don't copy competitors. That's not the point of that. It's just that. And then kind of going from there, I'd say start at that, look at it at the query level. That's what a lot of this is like really isolating a specific query that, you know, is experiencing that, and then going through those steps. I think that's one. And then the new newer way, I'd say, is SERP features, right? So like all those things we were talking about when it comes to whether it be now the new AI overviews, which is going to be all the rage moving forward. Knowledge panels, people also ask, featured snippets, like check to see. Ahrefs is, you know, that's the tool we use, but those tools have really good, the really great ability to like tell you if there's a SERP feature on a specific query.
Yeah.
Like it'll tell you feature snippet. Hopefully they have an AI overview one at some point. They have all the other ones and you can start to see like, is that what's influencing it? Because, you know, ultimately you feel like you're in a good position to be acquiring traffic and clicks, but it's not happening. So go do that. And then the actionable thing is understand what's influencing that. A great example is featured snippets. Like you can really analyze pretty precise in understanding how a specific competitor might be getting into a featured snippet based on how they're structuring their content, right? And so use those signals to try and optimize that section of the piece or the whole piece to get you a better shot at overtaking them. So those are definitely the best ways to do that for the new stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to kind of bucket it that way. We phrased it as sort of old and new. That's not maybe not entirely true because some of the SERP features in there are featured snippets stuff. They've been around for a while, but I think that's a smart way to kind of approach it, is just maybe kind of figure out, is it one of those or both? And then kind of take the steps when you're looking at updating the content and figuring out how to address that and move forward. And then I think the last piece, you know, is just like making sure we kind of cover the most important part and the thing that we've talked about a lot, which is like, don't wait until you have significant decay to then update it. The goal is to have, you know, I've done a lot. I did a webinar with ClearScope a while back on like the systems and processes around staying on top of content decay. So we're big believers in that. And that is like all in the name of preventing and mitigating that as much as possible. So being much more proactive and being on it. So I think that's a good place to kind of touch on last, just, you know, with all of this and just with decay in, you know, 2024 and beyond, you know, what does that look like to prevent and mitigate decay?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing to start with would be because of like, especially with AI overviews being the new hot thing, is topic selection. That's going to, if you at least start by understanding what the SERP looks like at the query level, that'll inform what you're doing about how you create the content, right? Oh, wow, I chose this topic and it has a featured snippet. So Go and create that intentionally with like, I want to make sure this is included in that piece, right? So that's like one way to approach it. Then I would say that the accuracy, Google's emphasizing more and more, especially my answers might be because it's timely when we're recording this around AI overviews, but ultimately that the accuracy of the piece is critical, right? And like, they want to surface in rich snippets and features that like it's the most accurate piece possible, but also that's just going to give you a better chance of ranking no matter what. Excuse me. And then structure, fundamentals, just make sure the piece is super structured in a way that readers and users alike want to experience a piece of content, proper H1s, H2s, and all that, bullets, all that stuff, images, all the things that make a unique and good piece of content. Those are going to be it. And then, those are really the three, I'd say, big areas to focus on. And just be hyper aware of what's going on at the SERP whenever you're doing anything, because that'll be the most telling sign of decay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think it's funny how like as much as the world of SEO has changed dramatically, you know, in 20 years, you know, repeatedly with big shifts and different large updates and all that stuff, how easy it is for people to lose sight of the fact that there's actually been an extremely simple and common thread for Google and other search engines all along, which is they want to provide the best, most relevant result for the search. Mm-hmm. And like, as long as you continue to remind yourself that, then you understand age, you understand intent, you understand steps and things they want to simplify and pull out into featured snippets and all that. Like, it all continues to make perfect sense when you just continue to think about it through that lens. And so I think that's important as well, just as you continue to go through this, whether you're reacting to issues and decay that you have and you're trying to fix it, or whether you're trying to stay ahead of it and mitigate, is just continue to remember that that's their ultimate goal, is to provide the best result when someone makes that search. And so the more you can do to align to that and really understand and meet that, then the better you'll do. Last piece that I just wanted to touch on, and if you, Kevin, if you have anything to add, feel free. Certainly this is, an update on the discussion around content decay, now at a time when, you have both AI content creation as well as, AI overviews and stuff in the SERPs. So very different in that regard from 2019, we'll say. And so I think that maybe is less about decay, but, we'll continue to just say that one of the biggest differentiating factors and impacts, within the SERPs is you have sort of these elements that we've gone through today, but then there's also just the matter of like having a clear reason why you created that content and having a clear point of view and taking the time and making the effort to differentiate your content from the others that are there, which ultimately then just getting the click is not the finish line by any means. Like, you want, when they actually do click into your result, that they're impressed with you and your brand and have a positive brand interaction and build trust with your company and see you as an authority on the topic and all these things that matter and build up over time. Yes, there are, many queries, and especially on the consumer side, that are very, very simple, basic information. But in the world of B2B SaaS, there are a lot of things that are important to have that unique point of view and differentiation. So worth calling out that's certainly a factor that needs to be considered, even if it isn't purely an SEO content decay factor.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. And that's the way it's going to shift in general. Even on the organic side, the longer tail, more specific thing that you create, is not going to get, maybe it's not going to end up in a SERP that has any of these types of features, right? Which is good, but that doesn't mean that it's not relevant to someone, that it's not something that someone would be searching for. So I think that's really important. And then the other thing you said, which is ultimately like, it's going to enable content to be successful across a ton of different channels, right? And you're not just putting all your eggs in that one basket, which is incredibly important at this moment.
Yep. That's a great addition. All right. Well, like I said at the beginning, this is kind of just a quick update, and you know, we wanted to talk about it because at the end of the day, decay is still happening, but it does not look the same, you know, as, you know, 2019 in that era, lots of people were talking about content updates and how to do them and all that stuff. And things have just changed quite a bit. So hopefully this was helpful. If you want to check out other episodes, visit 10speed.io/podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for the full video versions of this, as well as short clips. And with that, we will wrap it up. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Yep. Thank you.